I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her.
I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Ethan.
Oh, hi, Toffer. And yes, we are in fact back. Fat back. It's a small fatty deposit on the lower spine. Hello, everyone. I'm Ethan.
I've got a fat back. I know all about that. I've got a fat back. It's getting worse to get older as well.
Well, don't eat after 8 p.m. Well, and
anyway, how's your sex life?
Mine, to quote Alan Partridge, is moribund. I am still single. I'm still in darkness. And there we go. But speaking of darkness, we are once again ready to plow through another film. Is it a mediocre one? Is it a great one? We're going to find out as I rolled in front of Toffer on his living room floor until he asked me to leave. But after I left...
that's a dead funny image.
He watched Tommy Wiseau's The Room, the 2003 written, directed, produced by this very strange character, Tommy Wiseau, who is very cagey about where he gets his personal wealth from, his actual age, and where he's even from. If you've not heard of it, folks, I saw this about 7 years ago as it was recommended in Empire magazine. And, what can I say? It's widely considered the worst film ever made. I don't think that's quite true, but... it is pretty bad. It's held in such high regard as with Troll 2. And both films, weirdly, have, I guess, like this making of documentary slash semi-autobiographical film based purely on that. Best worst movie, of course, is Bonded to Troll 2. That's a good movie. I might cover that with Toffer at some point. And The Room has released this year in 2018, or the end of last year, rather, James Franco's The Disaster Artist, based off Greg Sestero's book of the same name, and all based on the fact he was in a film called The Room in 2003, which derailed both their careers. It recounts these two strange characters, Greg Sestero being this, I guess, attractive male model type character who wanted to be an actor, and this very strange character called Tommy Wiseau. As I said, they didn't know where he was from. He wouldn't say how old he was. He kept making out he was Greg's age when he's clearly in his late 40s to early 50s. Has the weirdest accent ever, but we'll get to all that. He's like some weird Christopher Walken meets, you know, Tim Burton person.
Yeah, meets Gru from Despicable Me.
Exactly, yes. So he whisks Greg off from San Francisco to Los Angeles, where they attempt to ply their trade as actors. And Tommy seems to always be cast as the villain, because he's a kind of strange-looking man, as well as strange-sounding man. Mm. Even the way he talks is kind of bizarre. All the vowels, consonants, and meaning in any of his sentences, even when he's talking normally, seem to make completely no sense and mean different things. So, yeah, here we are. It's The Room. It's 2003. Toffer, you saw it. We also saw The Disaster Artist.
Yes, we'll do that later on.
Let's get started.
Okay, well, you've pretty much done it already, but we will start the show as we normally do. Ethan, what was your first experience with The Room?
My first experience with The Room was, as I said, it was recommended by Empire Magazine, and I couldn't find it anywhere. It wasn't on DVD. I mean, I'm sure it is now.
You still struggle, and you've got to pay a lot for it.
Yeah, so like the best way of getting it at that time, sadly, for someone living in England, was to find it on a torrent site. So be good and try and buy it this time, folks, if you're trying to seek out The Room.
Yeah, because Tommy Wiseau needs all the money he can get. No.
Well... I don't know. What I would suggest, even better than that, and which is my regret of seeing it in the way I saw it, just by downloading it, watching it with friends, even though that was amazing. We all
cinema.
Had to like...
I'd love to see it in the cinema.
Yeah, if you go to London to the Prince Charles Cinema, which is in Leicester Square, I think for about £8 or £9, you can like go in and watch it. They play it literally every couple of months. And I think at least once or twice a year, Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero come down and do like a Q&A afterwards and take pictures with fans and stuff.
I would love to do that. I'll just quickly say this now. I watched it on my own the first time I saw it, and it baffled me. And it was one of the funniest films I've ever seen in my life. But
what, The Room?
Yeah. I enjoyed it more the second time I saw it, because I sat and watched it with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And watching her react to it was funnier than watching it myself. So I'd love to watch it in a packed room full of people.
Well, I think we've discussed this on previous shows. Like, this actually set me on a path where I started to watch and seek out shitty movies that I'd watch. You literally go to the pound shop and get like a pound shop DVD of something you'd never heard of. The one I mentioned, I think, on one of the... I think the It podcast was Killjoy 2. Not seen the first one. You didn't need to, but it was like a killer clown movie. And that was so bad. But because of that, because people are genuinely trying to, and I think this is when people try and make something bad and kitsch and it doesn't work. It's when people are genuinely putting their heart and soul into something and it comes out completely wrong.
Yeah.
That's the genuine badness. But because of that, it becomes more entertaining than any like mainstream, you know, Hollywood film, Star Wars, Marvel movies, what have you. It's the most joyous interactive experience. And as you said, watching it with somebody who's never seen it and seeing the bewilderment, you kind of re-experienced the film through them in a weird way.
Yeah, it was marvelous. Like, I've watched it. I watched it with her and I set her up. I went, listen, just get through the first two sex scenes and this will quickly become your new favourite film. You've got to get through these weird sex scenes to enjoy it, and then just let it flow through you, and it'll be a wonderful experience. And it was class. Just sit, because obviously I knew when everything was coming up, and I was just watching her, and just to see her face go from confusion to disgust to absolute joy.
Yeah,
it's a roller coaster of a film.
It really is. And I mean, as we're going to come to the disaster artist later in the show, I mean, I saw that yesterday, and it opens with, like, you know, very famous people, directors, actors and stuff, saying pretty much the very same things that you said, that it was this, obviously, this vanity project by Tommy Wiseau, who had this dream to be this, like, actor. And I think, as it mentions in that film, if he only played his type, if he only played the weirdo, the monster type person, which is kind of what he looks like, that's his casting type, if you will, if you're an actor. If he played that type, I'm sure he'd be very successful. Again, why he's not in other films now because of this, I don't know.
I think he will be now.
He has awful acting and stuff, but he has this weird look, weird charisma. He does have some weird thing about him that makes him eminently watchable. But like,
yeah, he's like he could be Russell Brand's dad.
Russell Brand's
coked up, heroin filled, alcoholic dad who just always shows up and embarrasses you everywhere. And he's like, oh, you know, my dad's here again. He's just like that because he's uncomfortable and he's awkward, but he's very watchable.
Yeah.
It's like a car crash, isn't it? You can't not look.
Watch. Yeah. It's like a weird, like, Bizarro World Superman X Factor that he has. It's it's strange. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I've not read the Disaster Artist book.
I want to, though. And, no, I haven't.
And I do want to now, because I want to see they've made more of a film. Because my only criticism of that was it was just like, I don't know, it kind of dealt with the darker side of time. It didn't really touch on it enough. He just acted a bit of a dick during the filming.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Disaster Artist more to the end.
Yeah.
So you watched The Room 7 years ago.
I did.
Downloaded it. I want to know what it was like when you were watching it, though. What were you, you know, what am I trying to say?
What was my reaction to it? But like you.
Yeah, what was your reaction to it?
The first thing, it's like, oh God, we've got to watch this. Why am I doing this? Empire recommended it. It's the funniest bad movie of all time. Oh God. But then once I got past the, oh, hi, babe, then when he came on screen and his delivery and the girl that played Lisa,
yeah,
like, is that the best person they could have got? And that, I'm not saying this as a slight against her, but it's like all the people that are in it. Like, she's probably, I guess, one of the better actors in it.
Oh, the best actor in the film is Chris R, mate.
But just the way they shoot her is really unflattering. The angles they have for her when she's kind of nude are really unflattering.
Yeah, because he makes her sit up and she's got like a roll of fat underneath her breasts. And it's like, okay, you know, I get...
Which I'm sure a lot of women have, and it's fine.
Exactly.
But like, the way they shoot you is very important.
It's refreshing to see that sort of thing, I suppose. But it's not obviously done. It's not intentionally done, because.
But they were drinking. What was that vodka mixed drink they're drinking? As soon as they got there, he's like, "I'm tired. I'm wasted."
She was like mixing vodka and whiskey together. Like, drink that.
That's
dickhead.
It.
Oh, I don't drink. You know that.
Yeah, and then the sex scene with these kind of weird... I think that's the thing that got me. When they had the sex scene, he just went on and on and on.
Yeah,
and it was all about his ass.
Yeah.
And he has this kind of weird skin, a bit like Vac-Man. Remember that toy you could get?
Yeah.
When you suck the air out of it, it looks like you got peas under your skin.
Yeah.
And he looks like some kind of Christopher Walken in a joke shop fright wig. So,
He looks roided up as well. He looks like he's got lots of steroid marks.
But then, like, we had a great time watching it. It literally was amazing. I think we watched it again, maybe that same weekend. But, like, a couple of years later, I went to see it with Alex, my first podcast partner. We won't get into that. Mm-hmm. From 3-4 years ago when I started Questionable.
Yeah.
We watched it at the Prince Charles Cinema. And it said on, like, the website Bring a Bag of Spoons, and I was like, what does that mean? So I looked it up, and because they throw spoons at the screen every time spoons happen. And if anyone doesn't understand that, in the room, every like picture in the house is in a frame, and in it there's cutlery and spoons. Tommy has never fully answered why that's the case. People have, I guess, theorized that they literally just bought them from like IKEA or somewhere, and that's literally the picture that came with the frame.
Yeah, so it's just be bought... it's just going to be frame pictures.
Someone went to B&M or like Range or some home like depot place and just bought a job lot of like kitchen utensils and just like picture frames and stuff and housewares, haberdashery.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very bizarre film. But when that happens, people throw stuff at the screen. Like,
how was it seeing
that
it with people?
Amazing, because everyone. It's a mix, like you said, of people who don't know what to expect. One of the people in our group that I took was like that. And then people who know what's going on. And it's obviously them just going, what the fuck? And then just getting into it. And then spoons and plastic forks are flying over your head and sticking in your hair. And like the coats are coming from Rose back as well. Everyone's doing it. It's just, it was the most, one of the most amazing theatrical cinema experiences I've ever had in my life. And it wasn't even a good film. But that's the weird thing about this. Like,
it is?
Film, it is a good film because it's the one of the most entertaining films ever, but like I don't know how to put this into words, really. It's just like, how
I wrote down after I watched it, like, it's genius, it's an abortion, it's tremendous, and it's a waste of time. But
how did you hear about it? Did I tell you about it, or was it someone else?
It was one of them. It's always been floated about. But I think I randomly heard a bit on Hollywood Babylon about it.
Okay.
So that just sort of planted a seed. And I'd ignored it and I'd not watched it. And then you'd mentioned it. You said we should do The Room. I was like, oh, okay.
And you were like, oh, God, it sounds shit.
Yeah, and I was having like a really slow day at work. It was coming up to Christmas. We didn't have a lot on. So I was like, no, fuck it. I'll just put something on. And then I found The Room. I was like, yeah, this'll do. And then for the next 80-odd minutes... I had one of the best experiences watching a film I have ever had in my entire life. And then that night I came home and I sat down with my girlfriend and I went, watch this now. And then...
You're just a chicken. Chip, 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 chip.
What kind of chicken makes that noise?
It's just, I don't know, it always comes back to, like, Tommy Wiseau, really, doesn't it? It's just... there's that scene I've just mentioned, like the cheap, cheap, cheap. Also, there's like weird outdoor scenes around San Francisco where they're playing American football, and then it's like obviously in a studio.
God, he fucking loves his football.
There's the rooftop scene where he goes, I never hit her, I never hit her. It's bullshit, I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Do my favourite bit. He's like, they're just randomly talking, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, she got like battered, like a boyfriend battered.
Yeah,
her.
He goes, what a story, Mark. But listeners, you think I'm aping this guy's voice? That it sounds like I'm doing a pastiche of it. He sounds worse than that. Mine sounds relatively tame compared to Tommy Wiseau. Obviously, this guy's from Europe. I mean, I've looked online and tried to discover where he was from.
He sounds like now a vampire.
He does. Well,
like
there's a documentary coming out.
I don't know if I can say that.
There's a documentary called Room Full of Spoons that I think he's embargoed because they went and found out who he is, where he's from, where he's...
Yeah, he cock-blocked it, hasn't he? But I think they've gone past it now.
Where his independent wealth is from. So according to... where is it? Room Full of Spoons. Mm. He's from Poland.
Okay.
He allegedly came to... I think he was... There was some kind of drug bust he was involved with, or they raided a party and he was arrested for drugs. And that was the reason he left as a young man, Poland, and then came to Los Angeles, Louisiana, where he claims he's from, to live with relatives. From there, he moved to LA and did loads of menial task jobs until he started, I guess, some kind of business in the rag trade, selling clothing. And that's how he made his money, allegedly.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard he sold coats.
That's it, yeah.
It's got to be drugs, though.
Yeah, well, I think he was in a car crash at that point, and that's what made him kind of go, well, actually, I do want to be an actor, I want to do something artistic with my life. And that's where he kind of literally started taking acting classes, met Greg Sestero, this wannabe actor model person.
Who he probably tried to bang.
Yeah, that his sexuality is in somewhat question, and they allude to that in the Disaster Artist film, where it's kind of like left ambiguous if Tommy's gay or not, and there's only one bedroom in his LA apartment. He owns two, like, you know, apartments, one in San Francisco, and they're not cheap. Nope. And one obviously in Los Angeles, and I'm sure they're not cheap either, especially like right off Hollywood Boulevard, as it were. So yeah, I don't know, it's just a very strange film, I think. Like, I don't know, it's like hardly anyone has seen this, weirdly, as well. I mean, I speak to loads of people about this and they're like, huh, what? It's I mean, the Disaster Artist, I'm sure, will kind of course correct that slightly.
Yeah, there's a bloke I work with who watched The Disaster Artist. He just came up to me, have you watched The Disaster Artist? I went, oh yeah. He's like, oh, it's all right, isn't it? I went, oh, have you seen The Room? And he went, no. He's like, oh, you dickhead, you've watched it the wrong way, go and watch The Room. And he came into me the next day and he went, I could only get through 20 minutes of it and I had to turn it off. I was like, oh, that's where it gets good. After that mark, he said, I said, how many sex scenes did you get through? He says, I struggled to get through the second one. I said, oh, after that, that's when it starts getting mint.
Yeah, it's now who's that guy that's getting the blowjob and his face is like doing the worst blowjob acting ever? But is that Mark, what's his name you mentioned?
No, Chris. I was talking about Chris R.
Chris R, sorry,
I
yeah.
His name. But like, I've never had anything happen to me that's that good that I've gone cross-eyed.
Yeah, well, I think when Empire mentioned it, I saw the clip, You're Tearing Me Apart, Lisa, and yeah. The Oh Hi Mark coming out of the thing. I was like, YouTube clips, and I was like, that's why I've got to see this film. But like, it's just the gift that keeps on giving, the score.
It's whimsical and it's lighthearted. It's like, oh, this might be a fun film.
There's the drug dealing subplot with, hey, Danny.
There's the cancer subplot as well. Like, that never comes back up.
So, oh, yeah, the mother, Lisa's mother. One of her lines is, so it's definitely true. I definitely have breast cancer.
Yeah, who's a nosy gold-digging bitch as well?
I don't know. It's what else do you like about... What's the... God, we're just saying what we like about this film. This is weird.
I do. But you can't really format a show around this film, really. Mate, I'm just going to layer this with quotes. There's no narrative, is there? Like, just layer this episode with them.
Like, they could have shot it outside, couldn't they, on that rooftop scene, but it's clearly, like, blue screen. And why, I've never seen over the years, someone's taken out the blue screen of the city and they've put in, like, a scene from the top of the Death Star, a scene from Star Wars, when he goes, I never hit her, and just changed the background. But, like, everything is studio-based, isn't it, for the most part?
Yeah, and he shot in two different cameras as well, didn't he, because he didn't understand what the difference was.
Yeah, so it was shot digitally and on film with two cameras next to each other. And that's why this very basic film cost, allegedly, $6 million. Yeah.
There's some dead good bits in the film as well where nobody's paying attention and the focus just goes from the cameras. It's just, it loses focus. And you just go, I don't really barely.
So what are some of your favourite scenes in The Room?
Oh, the flowers. He's tremendous. It's one of them as well. He puts random things in it that you don't need. Nobody needs them. Nobody needs to watch him go and buy flowers. And then he gets into his car. Like, why are we watching you get into your car? He set the cameras up, both cameras.
Hi, Johnny. I didn't recognise you. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Okay, bye. Hi, doggy.
Until he lifts his glasses up and then she's like, oh, fucking hell, it's you.
Yeah, I didn't recognise the leathery-faced, shoulder-length-haired vampire walking into my shop.
Vampire pedo-looking blow.
Oh, it is Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Hi, doggy.
Bye.
And she's like some butch Dutch woman.
What's wrong with Lisa?
Well, you know, one of my favourite bits is when they're in the coffee shop and it shows that couple, just their complete order before they arrive.
Yes.
They just order their stuff. I was like, okay,
they just let scenes run, don't they? Yeah. And you could imagine people giving him advice on the set game, the editor game, we should cut here. And he's like, no, I want it all.
Yeah. I would love
it's
to
more
know
natural.
If there were many cuts. Like, what's missing from the film? Like, what did he shoot that he didn't like?
I think that's, I mean, the only things that were cut were just him, I reckon, just fucking up his lines or like people.
And
yeah,
which
the bad
money
acting.
He would make if he released those, all of his outtakes.
I think my favorite scene actually, which none of him mentions, it's when he's like, they go, how did you meet Lisa?
Oh,
he goes, oh, it's a funny story. He talks for about 5 minutes about in a restaurant, clearly improvising.
Yeah.
And then he just goes, and that's how we met.
And that's it. We said hi, and that was it.
And we said hi, yeah. And there was some problem with the room or the meal or something. Also, I don't know, but it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And then he says, yeah, that's how we met.
Yeah, he could have just said, yeah, in the hotel.
Well, I think he forgot what he was actually meant to be doing. Then he realized after just rambling on, like, and then he went, oh, that's how we met. And that's why it kind of got left in.
There's a bit that I've after researching, I found out, because he's psychiatrist, mate, just disappears, doesn't he?
Yeah.
With the glasses. Apparently, he was only on set for like a week because he had to go and do another film. And Tommy Wiseau went, yeah, he'll be done in a week. And then obviously he wasn't. So the bloke had to leave and then they just brought somebody new in. That's why at the party scene, there's a random bloke you've never met.
Yeah,
he had to take off. So some just random bloke, just apparently.
You're lying. I never hit you.
I love he tells her, don't talk to me like that. She didn't even say anything bad to him.
What's wrong with Lisa?
Ugh, God.
What a story, Mark.
I do love the subplots, though. The subplots are, like, the Denny's. Denny, who's a bit of a rapist as well, by the looks of it.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, listeners, there should be some context to this, but because the film is so bizarre and doesn't really have some... It's got a narrative of, like, I think the basic story is Lisa's cheating on him with his best friend.
Oh, yeah, what's the plot? Tell me, have you got the actual plot?
Hang on, let's have a look. I'm going to trust Wikipedia on this one. Let's have a look. Yeah. The plot.
So I would like to know if the plot does represent the film.
Johnny is a successful banker. Anything for my princess? who lives in a San Francisco townhouse with Lisa's fiance. Lisa, however, having become dissatisfied with her life, and Johnny seduces his best friend Mark, and the two begin a secret affair. As the wedding date approaches and Johnny's influence... at the bank slips, Lisa alternates between glorifying and vilifying Johnny to her family and friends. Wow, this is like exactly what's happening to me over Christmas.
Except you're not a successful banker.
No, I'm not actually.
Yeah. Don't bring that up. But...
it's okay. That's not what
it's not like. True.
It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not.
That wouldn't be Arnie then.
Oh, hi, Hatava. Yeah, sorry. As the wedding day approaches, Johnny's influence at the bank slips. Lisa alternates between glorifying and vilifying Johnny to her family and friends, both making false accusations of domestic abuse. I never hit you. And defending Johnny against criticism, that's right. Meanwhile, Johnny, having overheard Lisa confess her infidelity to her mother, attaches a tape recorder to their phone in an attempt to identify her lover. So that's it. At a surprise birthday party for Johnny, one of his friends catches Lisa kissing Mark while the rest of the guests are outside and confronts her about the affair. Johnny announces to the guests that they're expecting a child, only for Lisa to tell the other guests she lied about it.
This
is true. And at the end of the evening, Lisa flaunts her affair in front of Johnny, who attacks Mark. He's just a chicken. Chip, 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 chip,
chip, chip, chip, chip.
After that, Johnny locks himself in the bathroom in despair.
In a minute,
yes,
bitch.
This is exactly what's happening to me over Christmas. upon coming out, he retrieves the cassette recorder that he attached to the phone
and listens to
an intimate call.
He had a random tape in his pocket.
Oh, yes.
Why? And I love that his pockets are full. And that's one of the things that they did do in The Disaster Artist, which I really liked. He fills his pockets up with shit, doesn't he? So in every scene, he's got full pockets. And I wondered, watching it, why the fuck? What is possibly in his pockets? But like, apparently, he just kept stuffing them because he didn't want people taking his shit. So he just put them in his pockets.
So he retrieves the cassette recorder that he attached to the phone and listens to an intimate call between Lisa and Mark. Outraged, Johnny berates Lisa for betraying him. Prompting her to end their relationship and live with Mark. Johnny has an emotional breakdown, destroying his apartment and committing suicide via gunshot. Don't worry, folks, we're not spoiling this, believe me, there's more. Hearing the commotion, Denny, Mark and Lisa, who apparently are in his house, rush up the stairs and find his body. Mark blames Lisa for Johnny's death. Denny asks Lisa to Mark to leave him with Johnny.
Which he's probably going to fiddle the body because Denny's a weirdo.
they stay to comfort each other while the police arrive. Going on the suicide scene, another one of my favourites.
Go on.
He has Lisa's red dress. He kind of caresses it, runs it down his body.
Rubs his dick with it.
And then he literally cups his crotch like a Michael Jackson move with Lisa's dress and pumps about four times into the air, lying on his back, going,
There is a bit just after he shoots himself where you hear you hear the police come in. And he's upstairs, isn't he, when he shoots himself? And the police come in downstairs. And you hear one of them go, do you smell guns? It's fucking class.
I think because this film is success is because I think Tommy Wiseau's total like idiocy or like innocence in a sense that he thinks this would work as a film, and how some of it makes sense, none of it makes sense, and just silly things like literally like pumping his like her dress with his
playing
dick
football
and stuff.
In tuxedos.
As he's like pushing stuff off shelves, going, ah!
Yeah, that one bloke falling over as well with them playing football. Like, what the fuck? Why is
none of it makes sense.
There's a dead good bit as well where the cross eyed blowjob bloke, when he's telling Johnny about being in Johnny's apartment with his girlfriend, he's like, oh, Lisa's mom turned up and she found me underwears.
Me underwears.
Yeah, just Tommy's like, oh, haha, cool story or something like that. He's like, oh, I totally get you. That's not a good anecdote.
Yeah, it's really I don't know. It's so hard for me to describe this film to people because none of it makes sense in a sense. And I think you should really not like Tommy Wiseau, but he kind of comes off the best.
He's an American
kind of
hero,
weirdly likable. He is. He's a non-American hero.
He's the most
but he won't
American,
say where he's from.
No, he's an American hero that loves throwing a football.
I don't know. It's kind of strange. I think the intriguing thing is he's so cagey about where he's from, where the money's from, and all that stuff. I'm not sure if that's just because of that potential drug bust. He's embarrassed or doesn't want that being
to be known.
He might be
a genius. He might just be very, very clever, and he's just leaving that air of mystery around his entire life.
Because, who else is there? There's Tim and Eric, the famous American comedy duo, have their show, like Tim and Eric and stuff. They've employed him in various things. Did I send you that Pigman clip he did with them?
No.
When he goes, hey, I'm Pigman. And he comes up from behind the couch going, honk, honk. It's really fucked up. Yeah, I think a few comedy shows have employed him just to be himself and not make weird videos. But it strikes me as odd that he's not been swept up in as a Euro villain in Die Hard 5 or something.
Needs a vlog. He needs a daily vlog. I would love to see what he's doing.
Well, he was on, Jimmy. Who's that famous American TV show host?
He was on Jimmy Kimmel, weren't he? With James
Jimmy
Franco.
Kimmel. But he looked like he'd had loads of work done, didn't he?
Yeah.
And also, if you're listening, just Google on your phone now, folks, the original poster of The Room, and the picture Tommy Wiseau has picked for himself is the most hauntingly weird, horrible picture he could have picked.
And he left
with
it
a lazy
up, he
eye.
Left it for years, didn't he?
Yeah, the billboard.
Fuck knows. Maybe that's what I need to do with the podcast. Just stick a fucking random billboard up somewhere. Or
but
the podcast
he's obviously
needs
made
to be
his...
that bad.
Well, I think when you try and make things bad, this is the beauty which we can talk about now, which a bit like Troll 2 and that documentary I mentioned called Best Worst Movie. Mm. There's a kind of double-edged sword to both of those films and bad movies in general, where it's kind of everyone loves your movie, but it's for the wrong reasons that you originally intended.
Yeah, look and at people look at all the super hit, the Scary Movie movies.
Yeah,
the way they were, once Scary Movie 1 and 2 was done, they got garbage. They kept bringing out worse films because they're trying to make it worse than the previous one, but still funny. And you're never going to be able to do that. The only one that did avoid that was Scary Movie because it was so new, it worked. But you try and get that again, and it won't. If someone tried to make a film like The Room and tried to make it that bad, it was good, you'd fail.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's made with pure intention and it comes off bad, and that's the magic. Mm. And that's, as I said, these bad movies in general. But I mean, now your life's work, as it were, Tommy Wiseau has said after the fact, it was intended as a comedy. But you know it's not. It's just he's had to embrace that. But the real question is, which I guess was one of the central conceits of the Disaster Artist film that's just come out with James Franco, is... They don't love it because it's good. They love it because it's shit, and they're kind of laughing at you in a sense.
Yeah.
You've become the court jester when you thought you were going to conquer Hollywood, and there's a kind of sad pathos to that, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, I don't know. I mean, the only thing, perhaps more than any film we've done on this show, listeners, is watch The Room. You'll probably have a better time with this than anything I've put in front of you or you've made me watch, perhaps.
Oh, it's the best film I've ever seen in my life, ever, ever. Best what, and
in terms
worst
of reaction film. And yeah. to watch and stuff.
It's just so good. Like, it just, like you said, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Like, I can watch it time and time again, and I will pick up like little things that I've missed. Like, the first time I watched it, I didn't see the spoons until I read about it, and I was like, oh, spoons. And I watched it, and I'm looking at the spoons, and then I'm looking at the set, and I'm seeing all the random shit. Because Lisa's room doesn't make sense, because obviously the people that are working on the set just like asked Tommy, what do you want? And he went, I don't know.
We should have like a master debaters trip to the King Prince Charles Cinema in London.
I would love to.
And like try and do one where Tommy comes and does a Q&A and do like a vox pop with him or something.
I would love to do that. Let's do that. next time that's up, we're doing it.
Yeah, because like even when he's going, I did not. The entire thing is because I did not and stuff. It's it's been such a good.
He overdubbed his voice as well, hasn't he? In like every scene, and it's not even in sync.
No. But, I mean, that is his voice, folks. I mean, like, it's just the inflection he puts in certain words. I mean, a lot of people who are obviously not English as their first language. They just have a bit of an accent, and they don't really kind of, I guess, kind of say certain words right. But Tommy takes it to a whole new level where it's like he puts the ups and downs of the intonations on the wrong words.
Yeah, he just sounds like he's being sarcastic.
I didn't hit her. I didn't hit her. It's bullshit. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark. Like... Even somebody whose English wasn't their first language would do a better line delivery than that. There was no pauses.
No.
There's no, like, stopping. There's all the intonation's wrong. There's no kind of, oh, hi, Mark. It's all just one level. But it's fucking genius.
Yeah, it is. Everybody's, oh, hi. Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hi, Daddy.
Do you think Greg, the guy that plays Mark, and I guess is his best friend, as Greg maybe or Tommy has said in real life, like... Greg came to Hollywood to be like a famous actor, and I guess he is now, but it's for the wrong reasons. I think Tommy's perhaps a little bit blind or an innocent, has an innocent view of it, where I think Greg perhaps doesn't enjoy the kind of attention this has got, or I don't know.
I reckon he didn't until he made the money on the book.
Right.
And I think he embraces it now because it's just
because
it's a cult classic.
Because he took, I guess, authorship literally by writing a book about his experience, therefore distancing himself in a way, going, yeah, I was involved with this once, but God, bloody hell. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's sort of come out. Yeah. He's done. He has distanced himself whilst still embracing everything about it. Like, he can look at it, like, he just roll his eyes when someone says something. But he's like, oh, yeah, I knew it was shit. Ha 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 ha. I don't think he did. Even in The Disaster Artist, they're showing that he knows that it's shit. I imagine Tommy was infuriating when he couldn't fucking say his lines. But, like, I don't know, Greg seems too wide-eyed to...
I want to read the book now because I'm not sure what the film actually glossed over and, like, what Tommy was... Is he a bad person? Was he horrible to deal with? Is he just completely deranged? Is he kind of... No, he's embraced this and become almost a cartoon character.
He's very much a cartoon character.
And he's kind of embraced that now as a kind of public figure, in a sense. Do you think... I don't know, is he improved as a person? Is he a nicer person? Or has he always been like that? Was the shoot just terrible? I need to read this book. I'm so intrigued. I'm looking at a BBC article now of the Prince Charles Theatre, and he's there. He's signing people's like San Francisco baseball jackets and stuff.
Imagine he signs a lot of footballs.
Yeah. It's like, I actually, when I saw it, I didn't realise, because I only saw The Room once, went from downloaded it, I went to see it at the Prince Charles Cinema. It was only after that fact I went, oh, fuck, he actually comes and in person does Q&As and stuff after that. Oh, my God. So I was planning on, like, doing it again, but I just haven't ever done it.
I've got
a couple
of questions for you.
Go on.
What did they do with Chris R?
Chris R was the guy with the glasses, right?
No, that he was the drug dealer.
Oh, yes. I mentioned this, but I forgot. There's that drug dealer subplot with young Danny.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best scenes where they're trying to get the information out of Danny. Like, what's going on? And they're both like screaming at him and crying. He's going, I don't know. I just needed the money. And everyone's talking really fast and it's weird. And then that subplot just disappears completely.
It does.
Chris R, who plays the drug dealer, who, by the way, according to his IMDb, has not done a film since then. He's done a couple of shorts only now, like 12, 15 years later.
We could probably get him.
I actually reached out to Greg Sestero a few days ago to be on Questionable, so we'll see. Nice. I doubt if I could get him, but I'm going to try.
Just get anyone.
Oh, hi, doggy.
Get Denny.
Hey,
Denny embraces it, though. It's all over his Twitter. He fucking loves it, he does. I think he's got like a normal J. Brown job now, but I think he loves it. Yeah, what did they do with him? Because he kicks off on the roof, and he's like, mm-hmm. give my fucking money, Denny. And then Denny was crying. And then, like, fucking Tommy and... Well, sorry, Johnny and Mark get rid of Chris R. But, like, within seconds, they're back up on top of the roof with a mom and Lisa. And it's like, well, where's he gone?
What? And again, this was shot in LA. Every roof is flat, folks. Every roof looks like the scene from the room, but they shot it indoors on a green screen or a blue screen.
Yeah.
And they matted in Los Angeles behind it. Because according to the disaster artist, it's like, no, it's a real Hollywood movie.
That annoyed me, though. They shot the Chris R scene in the alleyway in the disaster artist. And that's not right.
Yes, and that's why it's kind of it's given me pause to make me want to read the books. I really want to see what Greg thinks. But then again, you have to ask yourself, is Greg scared of Tommy in a way? Has he got to keep the brand alive by not giving away too much, going, oh, Tommy's a monster and it was terrible?
Yeah, I'd be scared of Tommy.
Is it a warts and all book? I don't know.
I doubt it. I do doubt that. I've got another question for you, mate.
Go on.
Is Lisa a sociopath?
Oh, completely.
Yeah?
Yeah. But then again, what I've dealt with recently of... like being accused of stuff which isn't true and then being nice and then being horrible. I think Tommy was kind of onto something here.
Love is blind.
You know, love is blind.
He's right though. His message, you know, if everybody loved each other, the world would be a better place.
What's wrong with Lisa? The rose as well. Oh, I don't know. It's funny, like
the rose. Just the sex scenes. I love the music.
The repeat of the music just keeps repeating, doesn't it?
Yeah, it skips, doesn't it? When they're banging on the stairs, the record skips.
Yes.
But like the music choices are marvelous. I imagine that was all Tommy. But it's like the cheesiest, air grabbing 90s pop garbage.
It's like an R&B song of someone's demo tape that never made it, so they didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. Just the music, it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, folks, I can't stress enough how good this film is, and it's we're saying like it's an awful movie, but it's kind of not. It's like it's
genius.
Amazing, but for all the wrong reasons. If you can, like I said, and Toffa said, get through the first. Like 10 minutes and get through one of the sex scenes. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Once you've seen it, you'll want everyone to see it, and then they'll be skeptical,
you'll
and then you'll live.
Watch it with people.
The only thing I can perhaps equate it to, because I've been to Disneyland and Universal Studios, which I dreamed of as a kid but could never afford to go, finally went on my own to Universal.
Oh, that's adorable.
And I went to Disneyland last year on my own.
Oh.
I imagine going with a 7-year-old or a kid on the teacups and stuff, you'd be experiencing it through them, therefore you'd have a better time. The room is very much like that.
I'll be 7-year-old. Next time you go to Disney, mate, you want to go on the teacups? You take me.
How old was he? He was 7. I never touched him.
I did not.
I did not. Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hey, Denny.
I swear, Denny.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
Denny, he's like, I know everybody in the film's weird, and like, Lisa's got her own problems, and obviously, the moms are a nosy bitch. But Denny's probably the weirdest person in the film.
Yes, because he kind of wants to watch... Well, they're like about to have sex. They're falling around the bed. He goes, I just want to watch you guys.
Yeah, I like watching you guys. And he just goes
and then
upstairs,
he won't leave.
He jumps onto the bed. What are you doing here, mate? He was the oldest person on set as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Playing the youngest.
It's like, he's meant to be 16, I'm 26. Shut up.
I just like to watch. You weird. You dead fucking weird.
If you love me, you'll drink this.
Definitely a raper. Like when Johnny shoots himself at the end, he definitely rapes.
The barbecue chicken was delicious. Rice. Dad was cool.
I love that. No, that's...
Chicken, Peter. You're just a little chicken.
Have you seen the song? Somebody's done a song of it, and it's dead good. They've done it. They've like took his voice and they've put it through auto tune. Like the chorus is in good. Cheep 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 cheep.
You're not my fucking mother when she says that to Lisa's mum.
Just, I love you in a minute, bitch.
Then Tommy Wiseau's comforting him by like stroking his hair.
No, but he's not
like,
stroking him. He's not grabbing
he's holding
his hair.
His head.
It's like really weird. He's like pulling his hair. There's a bit that that made my missus cry laughing is the bit where she's on the, Lisa's on the phone with Mark, and I think she calls him babe or something like that. She says, "Oh, I'll see you later, babe," and he goes, "Don't call me that." And she goes, "Okay, bye." And she hangs the phone up. That made her cry. You say, don't call me that. Okay.
I have a weird suspicion that Napoleon Dynamite, when he's on the phone, he goes, "Okay, bye." I think they took that from Tommy Wiseau, and he's like, "Okay, bye."
That's a good shout. Somebody mentioned that to me after I'd seen it. They went, "I think you might have been my missus." And it's a bit Napoleon Dynamite, and I do wonder if it's a bit of a homage to The Room.
Yeah,
because he's a bit like that, isn't he? He's a bit weird.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's I don't know. I mean, we keep going and doing quotes and going all over the place, but then the film is, and as I said, like, I thought you'd like this. I didn't think you'd like it this much.
Oh,
I haven't had a reaction from you from this since I think you saw The Fly.
Oh, I adore this film.
Or maybe It, and it seems to have trounced both those films in terms of, like, audience participation, enjoyment of a movie.
Yeah. Well, the way I describe the, for me, a good film... What the best films you can ever watch are films that you can constantly revisit. My favourite films of all time are films that I will always revisit. Like, you get people say, like, Schindler's List is an amazing film and Gladiator is an amazing film. But you cannot sit there and constantly watch those films over and over again because it's depressing.
Well, Patrice O'Neill, the comedian, said this. He was like, am I supposed to like Godfather because I'm supposed to, when I actually deep down prefer Goodfellas? It's that kind of thing, isn't it? It's just like...
Goodfellas. These are the one of the reasons Goodfellas is one of my favourite films is because how fast it moves.
Yeah.
And it's such a well-paced film, whereas The Godfather's very slow, and there's no way you can watch The Godfather twice in the same year. No way.
Still a great film, but it's just one of those... It's so great, it's a bit kind of not great, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that works for me. But The Room is a very, very, very watchable film. And you can just...
Well,
any time of the week, you can put it on and you'll sit and you'll fucking laugh your ass off at it.
I think now we've taken you into this, like, new realm of, like, shitty movies and discovering that they're actually better than, movies.
I mean, Ed first. Let's watch Troll 2. Let's watch them all. Let's watch that.
Well, I'm going to give you two potentials here. Troll 2, you've mentioned, that is considered, alongside The Room, the worst film ever made. People go back and forth. I don't think The Room is actually the worst film ever made.
The Exorcist 2 is supposed to be Gash as well, really.
Yes, but that's Gash because it's Gash.
Okay.
It's not good Gash. This is like people had a genuine intention of making something good. And I think Troll 2, and if you watch that along with Best Worst Film, the documentary that has now accompanies that, you'll see kind of the same thing where the people in it, it's become this uneasy kind of friendship with the project, as it were, when, you know, they're kind of going to all these conventions, people going, "We love you," and they're all laughing and so, but they're kind of laughing at them, and it's kind of like inside, part of them must be dying. But if you watch the Troll 2 documentary, they're lapping it up, and this guy plays a small part. I was on stage, he said, and everyone was waving at me and not signing autographs. It's been the greatest day of my life. It's like... So it's an interesting study on kind of how people take and accept these experiences that have happened to him. Mm. So Troll 2, I've never seen properly, but I think Troll 2 is like a legitimately bad film and not kind of The Room bad. So it's a different kind of bad, I think. The next film you should watch, or we should get to at some point, is Samurai Cop.
Oh, okay. That already sounds tremendous.
So that's another kind of so bad it's good movie. So I think those two at some point in the future we should actually cover. So, yeah, for sure. Oh, and also, how could I have forgotten this? I'm so sorry. Killjoy 2, the Killer Clown movie. As we saw it, as an addendum to that, I think you should at some point watch Killjoy 2, purely because there's like a hip-hop R&B soundtrack to it, very similar to the one in The Room for the sex scene, but like... The main theme and the soundtrack is done by some kind of black hip-hop artists, which is fine, but it just doesn't fit into that film, but that's why it's great.
Let's just quickly touch on The Disaster Artist. What did you think?
I really liked it. I think everyone came across as likable. I think Dave Franco, James Franco's brother, who plays Greg Sestero in it, James Franco, of course, playing Tommy Wiseau, who did a pretty perfect Tommy Wiseau impression. The only thing that took me out of it was James Franco.
Dave.
He's a good-looking dude.
Dave Franco.
James Franco took me out of sight because he looks nothing like Tommy.
Oh, okay. Well, my problem was...
Which I guess you can't have.
My problem was Dave Franco. I didn't... every time he was on, like, I because...
He didn't seem like Greg.
He didn't seem anything like Greg. He was just Dave Franco. And, I don't know, he wasn't good-looking enough for me. I don't find him attractive at all. Whereas a lot of people seem to find Dave Franco attractive, and I don't get it.
Yeah. No.
You know, I appreciate a good-looking man as much as the next desperate woman, but Dave Franco just doesn't do anything for me. So I couldn't work out, I couldn't get into Dave Franco being this good-looking male model. But other than that, I thought it was a great film.
I think looking back, if I was in James Franco's position and I took my ego out of it, I would have asked Tommy just to play Tommy to make this really fucked up meta documentary about Tommy and making of The Room and just got him to play himself.
Imagine that.
Because I think that would have added a dimension to it and just said, we're going to put this book on screen and I want you to... Tommy fucking surely would have done that.
He should have at least been in the film.
Because then I think it would have made an even better companion piece to The Room. Yeah. Because it would literally be him and Greg.
There is some really funny bits in the film. It's not the funniest film. I wouldn't say
no,
it was a comedy.
But it's very watchable and I enjoyed it. I wasn't bored. So, I mean, it's good in that sense. But I
love the bit with Greg's mom when she says, oh, I just turned... Like, she's telling Tommy, asking Tommy how old he is. He goes, oh, I'm Greg's age. And she's like, oh, yeah. I just turned 15. He goes, oh, happy birthday. Funny. His accent's mint.
I don't know. I think also when at the end when they kept putting like the what we've done and how close it is to the original Room, I didn't think they needed to do that. Because one, it ruined the scenes from The Room if you've not seen The Room. And two, it was just like, hey, look how close you've got it. It's like, well, it doesn't matter how close you've got it because you're not actually them. So it doesn't technically matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would have liked to have seen an older Tommy from now, 15 years later, allegedly, I think, 62 years old, with all his Botox, playing his younger self in some really bizarre, surreal...
There's some good cameos in it, though. Like Zac Efron, he's Chris R.
Okay.
Yeah. Sharon Stone plays the agent.
Who looked weirdly not hot anymore. And I love Sharon Stone, to me, is one of the hottest women ever,
she's
even
now.
She's
the most attractive woman in the 90s.
Whoa.
In the 90s, Sharon Stone was absolutely beautiful. 80s and 90s, I will fight anyone. Sharon
King
Stone,
Solomon's Mines, have you seen her in that?
I haven't.
Is she lovely? She's really... She is, and apparently she was a major egotistical dick and everyone on the set hated her.
Because she's lovely. Apparently you're allowed to be that lovely when you're good looking.
Also, as a sidebar, there's a film...
Oh, sidebar?
Oh, hi, sidebar. Oh, hi, Danny. In fact, there's a supercut of all Tommy's highs on YouTube. I'll send it to you so you can link it on the page.
Hi.
There's a film. There's a Canon Films who are like the worst movie... Sorry, I got a cold. The worst movie studio in the 80s, basically, making just schlock and terrible films, but they were kind of so bad they were good. They came to be anyway.
Yeah.
There's a documentary that came out a couple of years ago about them, and it details all the fucked up things about the productions of their films. I think you'd find it really interesting. I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
there we go. I hope this has encouraged you listeners to listen to more of our shows. Thank you. But to actually watch The Room, seek it out. You'll find it somewhere. You're all resourceful. I know you.
Yeah.
Failing that, once you've seen it once, or if what I'd like you all to do is go to the Prince Charles Cinema in London, Leicester Square, and find out when it's on, look at their website and go and see it and see if there's one where Tommy appears, because he always comes to at least one a year.
I wouldn't be surprised now if he does a lot of Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
You know, if people are wondering what he is and what he... Imagine, right? Mick Mars with Down syndrome.
I'm Googling Mick Mars.
Trying to be a vampire.
Okay.
He looks like a Down syndrome vampired Mick Mars.
I would say he looks like a young Christopher Walken that's been put through a stone wash with jeans, and then they've put a bad wig on him. He's so Walken-esque in the way he looks to me.
Also, 90s Ozzy Osbourne when he's off his fucking tits and he's walking weird.
If Ozzy Osbourne fucked Christopher Walken and then like shot him with some like salt, was it salt pellets, and just damaged his skin? I don't know. He's the most...
Have you watched The Punisher yet?
Which one?
The Netflix series.
I have not.
Well, you need to watch that because he's dead good. But like at the end of it, spoilers, he like smashes somebody's face in and like drags the face against some glass.
Okay.
It looks like that could have happened to him. He's definitely been punched in the face more than once.
Yeah, I mean, listeners, if you've not seen this film, I promise you, more than anything we've ever talked about on this film, this podcast, The Room is probably one of the most fantastic experiences you can have watching a film, and made even better if you see it with people who haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
and then you just keep building.
Yes,
I think the next thing for you to do is watch it with Sean and Mike.
Sean has seen it.
Okay, what did he think of it?
He loves it. Michael's the tough one because he hates everything. So
I think this will get him, but you just need to get him in your house and get him there with Sean and stuff. Maybe you should do like a Master Debaters live commentary.
Oh yeah, that'd be, we should probably do one like that. He looks like, right, Gene Simmons, and
he's got the Gene Simmons wig.
Gene Simmons, and you know when Mickey Rourke first messed his face up?
Yes.
He looks like if Gene Simmons and Mickey Rourke, and a little bit, he looks like all Kiss. If all of Kiss had a car crash and they got mixed together, that's what Tommy Wiseau is. He's just Kiss well, in that, a blender.
Greg and Tommy have actually made a new film now called Best Friends.
I love it. I love it.
And the R is in commas, so it's Best Fiends. Apparently it's a very good film.
Oh, hi.
And it's Greg and Tommy, and it's meant to be this like this surreal drama about murdering people. So I think we should seek that out at some point. But no, I'd love to do a feature-length commentary.
Yes, we should do that.
Absolutely, we should.
We should do that. Right then.
So.
Ask the question.
Watch the room.
Now ask the question.
What's the question?
Was it worth it?
Oh, God, that's of course. Sorry, folks. If you listened to the last episode, we did like the worst films of 2017. The best. I forgot to do the last film on my list, number one. And we also didn't ask, was it worth it? Was the room worth
yes,
it, Toffer?
Yes, 1,000,000%. 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,
watching a film. Yeah. If you see it with a group at the Prince Charles Cinema or any theatre wherever you are around the world.
Don't be a snob. Don't be a film snob.
Take a shopping bag full of plastic spoons and have the time of your life. I promise you, you'll love it. I can't tell you it's a good movie, but it's an amazing movie.
Your social media information, Ethan.
Ethan McKinley UK, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me at questionable.com. Sorry, ethanmckinley.com. Get it right. And my YouTube channel, Questionable EMC, where you can, of course, see my YouTube videos, one of which is on The Last Jedi. And there's another one coming.
Yeah, boy. Follow the show at Was It Worth It Pod on the Twitter. At underscore Master Debaters for the other podcast. On Facebook, we are Master Debaters 1, I think. But just search Master Debaters. Watch our videos. Listen to the previous shows. Let me know on Twitter that you've listened. Follow us on Twitter and all that shit. And keep coming back for more, because this, without this podcast, I wouldn't have watched this film.
And I thought you were going to say, without this podcast, I was going to commit suicide.
Oh, well, one of us might. But I adore this film, and I'm going to keep watching it. And I'm going to keep bringing this film into people's life and spreading the word, because it's marvellous.
Well, I'm glad we've got a winner. So, yeah, we've got a good movie out of the gate for 2018, even though it's from 2003. Mm-hmm. We'll return at some point shortly. Hopefully we'll do Killjoy 2. Troll 2 and the Best Worst Movie documentary that comes with that, and of course Samurai Cop. We'll probably pepper those throughout the actual good movies we'll see throughout this year. Lovely. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Lovely. Peace, bitches.
Peace out. Love you, boy.